This morning, we will be in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. And then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, Thinkest thou that David honors thy father, because that he sent comforters to you? Has not David rather sent his servants to you to search the city and to spy out and to overthrow it? Therefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to the buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it to David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed, and the king, and the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard it, he sent Joab and all the hosts of the mighty men, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab, saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind, he chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage, and let us play the men of our people for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good to him. And Joab drew nigh unto the Lord, to the people that were with him, and unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw the Syrians, they were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together, and Hadazar, sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river, and there came to Helam, they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadazar, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam, and the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadazar saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. Hard to read. Because as I read this, I hear things, the spiritual inside things. It's difficult to read it sometimes. So I ask you to beg you to forgive me in that lack of my reading skills. The pronunciation of the words. Okay. We know, everyone listening to this tape should know, one's present here should know that's listened to anything before, I do not teach historical facts. I might throw a fact in here or there to bring a point across. But I'm teaching you from the internal works of God, from His Word. This is something internal going in our lives. This is something that was going on in David's life, which represents our lives today. Correct? So this is something going on within, and we have to discern, we have to hear the Spirit of God in this and hear what He's saying and realize what's going on in our life. This is a powerful chapter. So let's put our thinking caps on. Let's put our ears on. Let's hear what the Spirit has to say in all this to us today so we can know how to live our lives, okay? Back to the first verse, chapter 10, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died. Who does Ammon, or what does Ammon represent? It represents, Ammon was a son of Lot, who was incestuous. He was an incestuous son, right? And it speaks of being inbred, it speaks of the flesh, it speaks of a tribal people, and a tribal people, somebody that keeps all to themselves. They all just keep inbreeding in their own group. They don't go outside of that. Kind of sounds like religion or the carnal mind today, doesn't it? It's the carnal mind in many references in this chapter. But anyway, the king of this died, okay? And Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Well, you know what? Who would you think this Hanun represents? Us. It's us, right? If Ammon is the king of this man, and it's his son, then who do you think? What do you think he is? Seed produces like kind, so it's still us. Okay, the carnal people. It's carnality in us, and he reigned instead. So what's that telling us? First of all, Ammon represents somebody. You can chase his heritage all the way back to one man, Adam. Okay? So Adam died. Hello? And guess what? When Adam died, guess who stood up in his place? I did and you did. Hello? We are just like him in our thinking process. We're not thinking correctly because we're thinking with a carnal mind instead of the mind of Christ. So this is what he's trying to tell us. And it's what's happened in David's life. And we use his experience for us to learn our life and what not to do. And then said David, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash. Now, Nahash was one of the people in that heritage all the way back to Adam, wasn't it? Right? You know what Nahash means? The serpent. Hello. Guess what? That's the carnal mind again. You don't think that's carnal mind. That's the serpent from the very beginning that Eve had to deal with. Okay? That serpent she dealt with. And his father showed kindness. Who was the father of Nahash? All the way back, God's the father of all, isn't he? He creates both good and evil. And David sent to comfort, and his father showed kindness to me, David said, and David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father, and David's servants came to the land of the children of Ammon. What is the land of the sons of Ammon? The mind. See, we're talking about internal things here. We're not talking about a country over in the Middle East. We're talking about something else. So David's compassion is going to reach back to these people. But guess what they are? They're the sons of the what? Serpent. Didn't Jesus talk to some people and say, your father's the devil? The serpent? The accuser? Same thing. And the princes of the children of Ammon. If the children of Ammon represent the carnal mind, then what would be the princes? The thought processes going on in the mind. And the thoughts in this carnal mind said to Hanun, the one who was ruling in the stead, and was ruling over everybody here at this time because Ammon was dead, right? So this carnal mind is saying to him, hey, do you think David's doing any honor for your father? He's got an ulterior motive here. So when anybody does good to you, the average person, when someone does good to you that you are not really associated with, what's the first thing that jumps into their mind? What's the catch? Where's the hook? See, what's the ulterior motive? And that's exactly what the natural mind throws at you. If you learn what this carnal mind does to you, guess what? You can sidestep those stones they throw at you. You don't have to accept these lies, do you? So the carnal mind's telling them, has not David's rather sent forth his servants to you to spy out the city and to spy out and overthrow it? And then your mind takes off. When that carnal, those thoughts start racing through your mind, them cherubim go to work in there, guess what? You're liable to do anything. Jesus said all evil comes out of the heart of humanity, doesn't it? The heart of man's desperately wicked and evil above all things, said Jeremiah. Now, cherubim's got it all stirred up. Look what happened. Hanan took David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Now I'm going to draw you a picture. Don't laugh. The picture. I'm going to draw you a picture of what went on. He shaved one half of their face. The beard to a Jew was their identity. Okay? Now, if you've seen something, half of one thing, half of something else, what would you think right off the bat? Double-minded, confused, duality, confusion, right? So he messed up. And see, the carnal mind does what? The Adamic nature does what to you? It confuses you and lets you not know who you really are. And you will also do something else. Look what else he did. He cut their garments off. He cut them off all the way up to the buttocks. Now tell me what he did to them. He exposed them. He shamed them. True? So they're shamed, they're exposed, they're confused about their identity, and it kind of sounds like somebody in the Garden of Eden. We won't put that one on tape. Okay? But it reminds me in this of the Garden of Eden. The serpent, Naash, right up here, right? Confused Eve and messed up their identity. They lost their identity in the Garden of Eden, correct? And they become naked. Hello? Same story, told in a different view. It's still the Garden of Eden. And he did it, and like you say, exposed them up to the waist. Everything below was exposed. And he sent them away. And guess what? In the garden, when Adam and Eve were exposed, God covered them up and then did what? Sent them out of the garden. You think this is a coincidence? This is God telling you the same story of the Garden of Eden in David's life. Watch what happens. And when they told it to David, and David representing the head here, he was the head of the country, right? He was the father, in the father. He sent to them and met them because the men were greatly ashamed. Do you know what God did when when Adam and Eve were approached? He said, we're naked. What did God do? He clothed them and covered them. What do you think David just did there? He said, don't come back to Jerusalem, boys. Go to Jericho and wait there. You go to Jericho and wait until you're covered again. You know what he said? Jesus said in the book of Acts? He told it to him in the Gospels, and it came forth in the book of Acts, chapter 1. He said, you go to Jerusalem, and you wait there till you be endued with power from on high. Didn't he? There's a place to wait. God's telling him, you go back and wait. Okay? Really? Yes, it does. Christ is our covering. Now, he said, Christ represents the Father, and he sent them there because the men were what? What does it say in verse 5? The men were what? Greatly ashamed. And you know what that word means? Confused or humiliated. And that's where we've been. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. You know what the word Jericho means? Let me tell you something about Jericho. Jericho was the first city that was destroyed when the Jews entered into the land. Jericho was the first town they took, wasn't it? So what's he telling them to do? You got to start at the beginning. You went someplace, you messed up, now we got to take you back to the beginning and start you all over again, day one. ministry. Day one, back to where you were in the beginning. And that's where you're going to start. Something else about Jericho. It means something else. It means a moon. There's the funny side of it. He exposed them and their moon was shining. And there's the funny side of it. Okay, God's got a sense of humor in it. That's part man don't like to be exposed. You're right. But he said, go to Jericho and stay there till your beard be grown. And in that beard, what did we say it was? Until your identity comes back, you stay in Jericho. Jericho is a place of defeat. Do you hear me? It's a defeating of the flesh. And you can't leave there until you know who you are. You got that? You can't leave Jericho until you understand who you are. In Hebrews chapter 6, God says this. Paul's writing it about what God told him. He said, we'll go beyond all these elementary principles if God permits. See? If God permits. So you got to go to Jericho and start there. Until you learn who you are, till your beards be regrown. Okay? Because we already had the covering. We just had to get our identity back. And then we'll know we were already covered. Whether we had clothes on or not, we have a covering. Right? And when the children of Ammon saw that they stunk, or literally were abhorred before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians. Now this gets good here. They stank before David. Didn't Isaiah said, our righteousness is filthy rags before God? So that's where we're at. He wants us to be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. So anyway, he says, they went and hired the children of Ammon. That's the carnal mind. Now, when you see that you're not in good standing with the king, what's the first thing you're going to do? No. You're going to defend yourself. The first thing the natural mind does is put a defense up. If it's the mind of Christ, do you defend yourself? He went as a mute lamb before the slaughter, right? Into the slaughter. But if it's the carnal mind, the first thing he does is defend it. Right? They're offended that anybody questions or exposes them. They see that they're not in good standing, so they're going to defend themselves instead of submitting themselves unto God. That's what the mind does. And here's what it does. What does the Syrian represent? Exalted. Now, what would exalted mean to you? Absolutely, it means pride. So they hired the prideful from the town of Beth Rehob. You know what that means? It speaks of the house of the street, or literally, it was in Dan. It was a town in Dan. Beg your pardon? It speaks of judgment, and that's what they think in their mind. As soon as they realize that, so they're going to hire somebody to judge somebody else. And from Dan, it ran from a parish from Dan to Hamath, is where these people lived. Hamath speaking of the walled city, religion, the high-walled mind, the carnal mind. Sounds like denominationalism, don't it? But see, we don't want to point at the denominationalism as much as my mind. See, it's the mind of these people. It's the mindset of these people. It's not the people themselves. It's that thinking process in that carnal mind. They're listening to the wrong voice. And the Syrians of Zobah. What is the Syrians of Zobah? That's the prideful ones out of Zobah. Zobah means warring, anger, violence, retaliation, revenge, all those things that come out of the carnal mind. What will people do if you are attacked or threatened? You know how many people say, I got a right to defend myself. Do I? Do I have a right to defend myself? Christ is my shield. I don't have to defend myself. It's Him. And He hired 20,000 footmen from those people. And the king, and of King Makah, you know what the word Makah means? Depression. You start doing all that stuff, your mind just wears you out. Guess where your next goal is? You're going into depression. You know how many times you're attacked, and what follows behind that? Depression. Because you were defeated from the inside the way your mind's thinking. And of Ishtob, 12,000 men. Do you know what Ishtob means? means good. You'll even go out and hire good people to help you fight your battles. You might even go back and hire somebody sitting under the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hello? And that's what that carnal mind does. It reverts immediately back to good versus evil. And if you look very closely at this, good and evil was the same tree. There's no difference between it. Only in the mind. See, the mind of humanity says good is better than evil. But in the eyes of God, God says, if I don't have good and evil, I don't have a completed circuit. I have to have positive and negative to complete the loop. And see, carnal mind doesn't see that. Carnal mind says, bad is the devil and good is God. God is spelled G-O-D, not G-O-O-D. Correct? And the evil is in there because God created it for a purpose, to complete the loop. Okay. So now we see that when fear comes in our mind, we're going to go higher all these things. These are the thought processes that go through our mind when we become attacked. We become threatened or we become exposed in front of God. When we realize that God don't like what we are. The fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh. And when David heard that they were all getting ready to attack, what did he do? Verse 7. David sent Joab. What is Joab? Yahweh's his father, so what would he be? A son of God. You know how many sons of God there are? One called Christ, the corporate Christ, the body of Christ. He has one son. We're all his son, okay, corporately. Well, it'd be 33,000, excuse me. How old was Jesus when he finished up? 33. There's a lot of ways you can look at it. It goes right to things, yes. There's always something for it. Which was the Christ, okay? And when Christ heard of it, he sent Joab, his son, and all the host of the who? The mighty men. Was the mighty men all of Israel? It was the first fruit body of Christ. Remember what Jesus said? I've done all these great works, but you're going to do greater works than these. There you go, when God's sending us out to do the rest of the work. Okay? Beautiful picture of the whole gospel in this chapter. And it said, the children of Ammon came out and put in array the battle in array at the entering of the gate. You know what that tells me? The carnal mind put the battle in array at the entering of the gate. When Christ enters that gate, he said he is the door, didn't he? When he is that gate, when that door is entered, there is when the battle begins. See, when I was in the world, acting like a fool, like I was, running in that wild-ass nature that we were made in, guess what? I didn't have no battle in my mind. But when Christ entered my mind, guess what happened? I can take one person and put him in this room and lock him up, and he ain't going to have much of a fight. But if I put two in there, Keith, what's going to happen? You're going to have a fight. And see, as long as I was running in my carnality, I didn't have a problem. Because the king was over top of me. What was his name? Ammon. The king of the children of Ammon died. Okay? But he was still alive in my mind, and I didn't have any struggle until God sent his son into me. And you know what happened? I got into a battle. It was a war. And set it in array against them, trying to defend myself because I didn't want to give up. And neither does anybody else. Even though you're called, you will fight this battle.